Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. And again, if you're coming north to Seattle on I-5, you might want to find another way to go, because early this morning, just as we were getting in pretty much, a motorcycle accident by the Mercer exit, 167 I-5 North. They've shut down the freeway, and if there's a fatality involved, which we heard there was, you know they've got to do an investigation, which means they're not going to open up that freeway until they get that all cleared up and get that investigation done. So if you can find another way to get to Seattle traveling northbound, well, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just happened right before 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And now the three left lanes of the freeway are blocked.
Yeah. All right. So there's a thing called fubbing, also known as phone snubbing. And apparently it's causing marriages and relationships to break down.
Fubbing.
You're snubbing somebody via the phone.
So are you snubbing them because you're on the phone, or are you just ignoring them when they're trying to get a hold of you on the phone?
That's a good question.
It's probably both.
Yeah, the survey has come out and said a third of people in relationships say they have been ignored by their phone distracted partners. So sometimes you're in the room.
Yep.
I've been guilty of this, and my wife has had to like really just go, hello, you came all the way down here to visit me, and you get your face in the phone, huh? That's
well, you know, doing? I mean, Pornhub's not going to watch itself, babe.
That's a good point. Why didn't I think of telling her that?
I'm guilty of it. I get busted for it. But you know what? I'm not a fan of shopping. And sometimes my wife wants to go shopping. I'm willing to be a trooper and walk around and shop with her, because I know she enjoys it. But I'm going to be on my phone. So if there's going to be times where she's like, are you not paying attention? I'm like, no, I'm not.
No.
But I'll stop what I'm doing on my phone now. What do you want me to see?
Us guys, we forget that women don't give credit for being there. Because when you're with a bunch of dudes, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to be doing the same thing. It's just you appreciate your brothers next to you. Women, it's not like that. They don't appreciate just the presence. They want more than that.
I got to get better at just not spending so much time on the damn phone. I don't know about you guys, man. I'm feeling like I'm fully addicted to this stupid thing.
You've got a lot of screen time. You don't have the most screen time, but you do.
It's bad. And it's like, sometimes I'll just sit on my couch and I'm watching something that I'm interested in, and then I'm just refreshing social media. And yesterday, it really woke me up about it, because like everything stopped working, and it was so nice. Facebook isn't working. I'll be off of it.
I'm glad it was nice for you, because all I ended up doing, I was like, what am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? So I kept checking Facebook to see if it was still down.
He even, you know, here's the irritating thing about that.
He group chatted us on,
and you know I don't like to be texted, and he knows the rule about texting.
Oh, all bets are off with the morning show group chat.
Yeah, and I've got you on Do Not Disturb now, because thank God.
You and me both.
Yeah, because it's like, really, Rev?
Yeah.
This is your big emergency that you need to group chat me that Facebook isn't working?
Facebook was dead. It was a big thing.
No,
I know. And my response was good.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was dead. Like, I didn't experience any of that. You know why? Because I wasn't on it.
Yep. Instagram also. Everyone was losing their minds. Thankfully, Twitter still works. So everyone went on Twitter to complain about Facebook and Instagram.
Even Facebook that went on funny. Twitter.
Yeah. Facebook had to use Twitter to tell everybody we're broken. I think at that point, if you're Twitter, you go, we win.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we win. I actually felt good about it, Reb. I'm like, I have no idea if I was affected because I wasn't on it.
I didn't know what to do with my life.
Yeah.
Like, it's so sad.
So you went to a movie about a cat.
Well, Facebook was down, and it wasn't about a cat. It was Cat Video Fest. So it was a compilation, an hour and a half long, of cat videos. Some of the newest ones for 2019.
So really, somebody made a movie that you paid for where they just took all the videos you could watch on YouTube if you searched and put them all on one screen.
Yeah.
What did they charge for this?
I think it was like $10 a ticket.
Wow.
It went for a good cause.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, sure did.
And also, it's a small local theater down in Tacoma, the Grand Cinema, which is amazing, and they do some fun things, and I wanted to help support them and then also watch cat videos.
You know something?
I can get you away from Facebook for 2 hours.
Exactly.
If you ask somebody, okay, this is going on, what part of the country is it going on in the cat video movie, they would, you'd have to guess Pacific Northwest.
No, everywhere. Yeah. Cat videos are international. They had ones from Greece.
It's huge in Catistan as well. Sorry. That sounded good in my head. I'm
you
tired.
You apologized as you were saying
the
joke.
As it was coming out of my mouth, I realized this was a bad idea.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you only get 3 hours of sleep.
Besides, you know it's
Catistan.
It's much bigger than Kathmandu. Okay?
Nice! There we go.
That's the one, baby. Now, Steve, you and I are not the worst offenders of the snubbing, even though you feel badly about it.
Vicky
and her peeps, her millennial people, they're the ones that do it.
Vicky's
more.
Always on her phone.
Yes, she is.
Yay.
And they're saying that almost more than half of the people are complaining it's affecting their romantic lives. Vicky, I know it's affecting yours.
I don't have one.
Oh, that's what it is. Maybe that's the thing. True. Maybe it's connected, Victoria.
Get off your phone and get on a dude.
Yeah. Whoa.
That should be a bumper sticker.
Oddly enough, I'm actually kind of taking a break.
Good for taking you. A break what? From the phone or the dudes?
The dudes. I'm not taking a break from my phone.
Oh.
No.
You're taking a break from dudes?
Yeah.
Is that why you hung out with us more than you would have?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It was like, well, hang out with people that I know I won't have any action with.
You weren't Tindering or Farmers Onlying while you were in Vegas?
No.
Yeah, she wasn't. She actually was with us most of the time. I was really surprised.
Yeah. No, I'm kind of at a weird point in my life where I'm like, I kind of want to take a break.
Too many dong pics?
Yeah.
Damn.
Is this what getting old's like?
So, well, what are you looking at me for?
Well, because you're the oldest person I know.
Yeah, once I hit 40, I took a break from dudes.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I'm starting to get back into it, though, actually, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, when I come out, you know, maybe 5 or 7 years or whatever it is when I hit 50. Back on the dude train.
You are my inspiration.
There you go. Are you taking a break from chicks?
Well, yeah.
Oh, everybody. So you're
dating.
You're taking a break from dating?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Like doing the whole, you know, horn it up. As much fun as that is, I'm kind of over it.
You're going to sorbet and see if you can meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright.
So you're not opposed to finding the right person.
Yeah.
But you don't want it to just be like, hey, slam fest anymore.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's an end of an era.
It really is.
I feel kind of weird. It took me a while to kind of figure out, like, what is going on? Is there something wrong with me? Gone to the doctor, everything. I'm like, what's wrong with me? No, it's just natural.
So you kind of want to settle down.
I guess.
Whoa.
It's scary.
And I know you've been loving the babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's been loving the babies. I think she just wants to settle down.
Are you going to DA? Dongaholics Anonymous?
It's anonymous, Steve. We're not supposed to talk about it.
Yeah, nice going, Steve.
My bad.
But
so,
yes.
Wow. Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe you now can break away from the phone. You might be able to meet the person. But you got to get away from the phone because they're saying,
go to a grocery or a church. You'll meet a good man there.
Yeah, you will.
I would burn if I go inside a church.
That's
seriously.
True.
Nah, I'm proof that you won't.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing because you do go to church, and I'm surprised that happened.
Yep.
And God hasn't smited you once.
Nope, the room is very comfortable temperature-wise.
That's nice. The research they did, by the way, of why snubbing or fubbing is causing such a problem, phone snubbing. Three factors. Here's why. Internet addiction. Well, I think you're realizing you're kind of addicted to the internet. At least you're making it sound that way.
Yeah, I'm addicted to information. I just want to know what's going on. And I'm afraid that if I'm not on my phone, I won't know what's going on. Even though I could go on my phone 4 hours later, like when there are times where I'm too busy at a concert, maybe, and I can catch up on everything that I missed. And it's not a big, oh, KJ Wright re-signed with the Seahawks. I don't need to know that at the very moment that it happened.
Yeah. But you think it's our job, though? If you didn't have the job where you had to know everything, or is it that you?
Bro, I'd like to say it's that, but it's not. It's just a stupid thirst for pop culture knowledge.
Have you ever tried just deleting the Facebook app for like a day and see what happens?
Oh, you can't in our business. You really can't.
Yeah, I don't have to remember my password. Right now, I don't even know my password. So if I get logged out, I'm screwed.
Oh, you are screwed. Yeah. Don't get a new phone.
All right.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to just let it be there.
Fair.
See, for me, I it's guilt. Guilt is the only thing that keeps me wanting to keep up with what's going on. Because I'm like, I won't be good at my job if I don't know everything. But I honestly can't wait for the day where I am that old person that doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I don't care. Because I feel like it messes with our lives when we got to keep up with everything.
Yeah, at that point, we don't even know if you pooped yourself. So, I mean, that's like that's a good way to be.
Oh, listen, if I can be pooping myself and don't know, what a great life that'll be.
I just, it's like when the moments where I'm not around my phone, nothing changes. It's not as if, like, the world is better because I'm on, or my life is better because I'm on it all the time. So I just need to, when I get home, just set the phone aside and not
you
even go near it.
Fubber.
Yeah, I need to fub myself.
So internet addiction is one reason for fubbing. The other one, FOMO. You're fubbing because you FOMO, which is your fear of missing out.
Yeah.
I mean, I had that for a long time, whether it was because I was on the phone a lot more back in the day. Because, I mean, if you look at my usage, I'm less than you guys now. But it was also like I'd go out and do all these things that I never necessarily wanted to do, but I didn't want to miss out. Like, what if a great story comes of it? Or what if I'm going to regret it later? And now it's just I'd rather just stay at home and chill.
Yeah.
Should we have like a goal?
What's the goal
of screen time? Maybe like we set like a certain number. Like what are we're all hovering over five?
Are
we gonna count TV?
No, just the phone.
Oh, the phone. I'll kick all your asses.
Are we gonna count iPads though?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. iPad,
back and forth.
Yeah, my iPad. I was so happy. Like my hours are low, but if I combine my phone and iPad, I think I'm right up there with you. But I do a lot on the iPad, and then TV. Forget about it. The screen time in front of the TV. I'll kick all your asses in that. I will be the one that wins.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't do this then. Yeah.
I watched too
that
much TV.
That means no wrestling for Steve.
No wrestling for Steve. No,
I just want to get off my phone more, man.
Well, you need self-control. That's the third thing they're saying is the problem for people that fub, is they just don't have self-control. Yeah, you're a fubber, Steve.
Somebody says, I temporarily disabled my Facebook on February 5th. I've been way happier and more productive without it. Another person, I got rid of my Facebook over a year ago. My friendship and my relationships are 100 times better. Another person says, I was wasting 3 hours a day on social media. I felt like a loser. Now I read books. LOL.
You know, when social media started, it was more of a woman thing. I remember a lot of dudes going, no, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. Why would I use that stuff? But the pressure has put us in a position where a lot of guys who just aren't that, we're not wired to be this social, are now forced to be this social, and it's now become like a drug for some people. We need to be this social as men. It doesn't mean we can't be somewhat social, but I don't think we need it. I really, really don't. I don't think it's helping us as a gender being this social.
I don't feel like a lot of guys are necessarily on social media to be social, but when you have Twitter and the ability to follow porn stars and strippers,
stars and sports,
exactly,
that's what I love about Twitter
and Facebook.
Yeah, Twitter's good.
Vacation pictures.
Yeah, Twitter is. You don't usually see the hate and vitriol that you see on Facebook, but you know how guys get angry and just shoot off their mouth. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's not a problem when you're around your buddies because they know you. But I think a lot of those folks now are turning to Facebook and having political arguments and shooting off their mouth because they're angry in the moment, and it's a lot of guys just don't realize you look like an idiot and it's not good for you. Because normally if you're around your friends, they'll go, Steve, what are you, a moron? Do we really want to talk about this?
Right,
and
right.
Then you go,
I eat some chicken wings and shut up.
Because I got a buddy that goes crazy on Facebook, and then he finally, it was funny, he was at dinner with us. He goes, I mean, I feel like at times I can be a little, you know, I might be a little annoying on Facebook. And I turned to him, I said, a little annoying? I said, dude, did anybody tell you you're a moron on Facebook? You're ruining everything about your life. And he's looking at me like, I go, hey, you're my friend. I got to tell you, you don't see me enough. If you saw me more, I would tell you to get your ass off Facebook if you ever want to
be. So what did he say about that?
He was just like, well, he started arguing like, well, I don't know. I go, dude. I go, you have a wife?
Gaming?
Yeah. I go, you have a wife. You have kids. You do not need to be this idiot. You know what? You need to be the guy that's thinking about them and thinking about your standing in your business. Nobody wants political Pete going off like that on a business.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys just don't realize that, and that's why they should get off the social media, I think. They don't need it.
One person said, I deleted my Facebook about 3 months ago. I also agree with the other texters. It's been the best 3 months in a long time. It was weird at first, but it was just more of a habit to grab my phone and open up Facebook more than I really gave an ass on what's happening. And I think that's what it is. It's just, you just, I might as well just check and see what's going on in the world of Facebook. And then you just fall down that stupid rabbit hole of reading a thread of people arguing, and it puts you in a bad mood.
You know, Steve, you're the perfect example of why.
Of what?
Well, because you're the average guy.
Thank
and
you.
I can always tell when I'm getting annoying and really giving you too much information, because you can just look at you. You're shutting down. Your body shuts down. You get the scowl on your face. You're like, dude, enough. But with Facebook, you can't do that. And you're getting the same kind of crap. You're getting more stimulus than a man should get. The average man shouldn't get that much. We have less words that we use more so than women during the day. We're not supposed to be this social. I just don't believe we are. And I don't think it's good for men. For women, I don't know what's good for them. They know. Hopefully somebody got someone that knows what they're talking about. I don't know anything.
Pornhub as well.
Yeah, Pornhub's. Well, Pornhub is the best thing about the internet. Let's just say that, okay? That you can never get enough of. That's the only reason a man should have a smartphone. Right? All right. Well, I got to tell you about Matt LeBlanc. He was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay.
He's still got a show.
Which guy was he on? Friends.
He was Joey.
Joey.
Yeah.
I was actually watching Friends last night.
You did not know who he was? Really?
I couldn't remember.
Really?
No, I just couldn't remember his name. Gosh, don't friend shame me.
I am struck because I think it's iconic that everybody knows who everybody was.
Well, I was about to piss y'all off. I almost went, whoa. And I realized it's a different Joey.
That's amazing.
Joey from Blossom.
Wow.
Yes. Dude.
Look, Joey from Blossom will never be Joey from Friends, okay? Yeah, I mean, don't even compare.
Like they're very similar.
No, I mean, as far as popularity, no way.
Right, and the catchphrases
I'd rather hang out
different.
With Joey from Blossom than Joey from Friends.
Oh, no. Matt LeBlanc.
Well, Matt LeBlanc had a duck.
And a chicken.
Yeah,
that's true. That's right.
And
meant.
A foosball table.
Yes. Okay, I take it back.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I would rather hang out with Matt LeBlanc from Episodes, which he did that HBO show. He kind of played himself. God, he was so good in that.
I'm with you, Steve. I don't know who Matt LeBlanc was before this
Are
audio.
You what?
I've never watched Friends.
What is wrong with you?
See, I've watched Friends. I just forgot who's Chandler, who's Joey.
You know why?
Which one's Phoebe?
I'll tell you
Phoebe's,
why.
Phoebe's David Schwimmer, right?
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got that one right.
You know, Steve, that's the sign of somebody who's... Like it was after your time. You weren't as huge into it as Vicky and her generation.
I've seen maybe 85% of all the episodes of Friends. I mean, I watched it. It just wasn't my favorite show.
Compared to the people who love a show that not only have seen all the shows, but have seen them multiple times.
Oh, Vicky still that's watches me. It. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what yeah. I've been falling asleep to. Like, I'll watch it and then kind of doze off because I've seen it so many times that I'll just complete the jokes as I dream.
Oh, and that's the problem is that I watched a couple of Rick and Morty episodes, but I will never be like you and my son where you know everything about that show.
Oh yeah, that's my jam.
And with you, Steve, Seinfeld maybe
more so than Friends. Yeah,
yeah. And that's you and me in that generation. Yeah, for me, of course, you know, I watched all the Star Treks and I can tell you everything about the first season, the first the original series, but I don't know enough about what's going on now with a lot of stuff. So, you know, there you go. But anyway, Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, what's he up to?
Yeah, he was on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night, and he shared a great story about a drunken purchase he made, which was an 85 Porsche. And he brought this 85 Porsche to his car collection in California to try to sell it. But instead of selling the 85 Porsche, he ended up getting drunk and buying another vehicle instead of selling the car he was trying to sell.
So I brought it all the way down there and it didn't sell, and I was kind of upset.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they have it down there. You know, you're sitting there and they have the open bar with the waitress coming by and have another cocktail. Next thing you know, I've had about four or five beers and I buy a Jeep. I see that now. Oh, I gotta have that.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
Right.
You wake up in the hotel Sunday morning and you like pull this pink slip out of your pocket. What the hell?
There's a Jeep in bed next to you.
Yeah. Exactly. Jeep in the bed next to you. Yeah.
And so you went with one car to try to come back with no cars and you wound up with two cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now there's a semi with my car and my new car on its way back from Florida right now.
We talk about drunken purchases, but that's a whole other level.
See, I can relate to that. Thank God I don't have the kind of money he has, because I feel bad when I go to conventions and when somebody starts talking to me, which is why I don't like to go to the booths. They go, hey, my game's only $20, and I just did that. And I could tell by looking at the guy's game I didn't want it, but his kid's there. Then my dad made this all by himself, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Dad, you know, I want to eat, sir.
Exactly.
That guy was brilliant.
Yeah, so I bought the damn game, and I know I look at it and nobody wants to play it because I go, what do we want to play that game for? That's look good. I go, I know, but I would.
They should be serving drinks to you guys at the cons.
Oh, they don't need to do that for me because all they got to do is serve me guilt.
Yeah, but if you were drunk, you probably
drop
so much money to get pictures with all these celebrities.
See, luckily I can afford that, but I mean, he bought a Jeep because he was drunk.
Side note, if you go to Rose City Comic Con in Portland, you're allowed to walk around with like beer and stuff.
Well, Vegas too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
Smart. Because think about like all those like those big fancy auctions that happen, and where do they do those big galas where they're just pouring booze,
they're smart,
getting you drunk. I've been guilty of that. I remember when we did the Grant Wittstrom was a member of the Seahawks, and we went to one of his shindigs, his Halloween thing. And you always do that auction,
yeah,
and you get caught up in the spirit. I remember being hammered, and all of a sudden I'm putting up the damn auction card, and next thing you know, I dropped like $1,000 for me and a few friends to go have dinner with him and a couple of the other guys on the team. And I remember he looked at me because I did it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I did it. And he's like, which one did you do? And I'm like, I dropped the G. And he's like, how, for what? And I'm like, I did it to go do dinner with you guys. He's like, we could go get dinner, and you didn't have to do that. And I was like, but it's for a good cause, man. So I'm trying to justify it, even though like I did not have that kind of money. I just got caught up in the moment.
Yeah, that's a beating.
Yeah.
And Matt LeBlanc gets a Jeep.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, they're smart with their alcohol.
Man. And yeah. They know that you can open up your pockets then.
Damn. How about this? We got a single tweet by a man's son that actually saved his business. It's a pretty awesome story. I'll tell you what happened at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Who says Twitter's not awesome?
Well, what happened?
Actually, Facebook said, thank you, Twitter, for letting us use you so we could tell everybody we weren't working. So actually, Twitter is kind of awesome. And it's even more awesome because of this story about this single tweet by the son of the owner of a newly opened donut store in Texas. And that tweet helped bring in scores of customers and sell out over the weekend. Billy Bai tweeted a photo of his father standing alone in Billy's Donuts and another of the empty parking lot outside and said, quote, my dad is sad because no one is coming to his new donut shop.
This is fantastic.
And Billy also included the address of the shop in the message thread. And I will tell you this, man, I mean, this kid's a genius because on Sunday morning, his dad was overwhelmed by all the customers. Sunday afternoon, the shop completely sold out of donuts.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the picture, and you just like, yeah, it's just empty in there. And dad does look sad.
Yeah.
Or dad looks annoyed by his son.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Wow. As of late Sunday.
No cars in the parking lot.
Nothing.
It does look sad, man.
Yeah.
What a good idea. Free marketing.
Yeah. What a great. I mean, dude, and those donuts look good. Plus, I like the look of the place. The guy did a good job with the joint.
It looks really bright yellow and red, like a certain fast food. No,
oh, yeah, you're right. It does.
It's got a very McDonald's-esque vibe in the color scheme. No, it looks very basic, but you're right. It does look like a typical donut shop.
It kind of looks cartoony like The Simpsons.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it makes me think of, like, I'm in The Simpsons world.
I'm trying to see what kind of donuts these guys got.
Yeah, he's got some good donuts, dude.
Ooh. Looks all right.
That is a really bright color scheme. I wonder, you know, I notice his dad is Asian. I wonder if those are good luck colors because that color scheme, I've seen red and yellow before in the Asian community. I think they're signs of wealth or money or whatever. I wonder if that's why he did that. And it wasn't working until his son did something.
He's got donut hot dogs.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay. They should have been filling this parking lot up before that.
Oh, apparently people who work at Twitter went and visited him at Billy's Donuts because they have a thanks for coming, Twitter. And it's a bunch of people rocking the Twitter shirts.
Wow, look at that. Now I'm jealous of Twitter because they get to go have those donuts.
You know, we have donuts here that are very good.
Yeah, but they're not Billy's Donuts, right?
Well, you said I know he did the walls yellow and you were saying it's maybe some kind of cultural thing, although his son posted a picture of his dad, said, this is my dad's new donut shop. I don't know why he painted the walls yellow.
Yeah, it's really bright. It's funny.
I'm with Vicky on this. It does have a very cartoony vibe to it.
Yeah, it does. Which is an interesting thing because it looks more like a Dunkin' Donuts because Dunkin' just has those plain, bright, like from Micah table looks to them. Dunkin' Donuts has always been that way, or now Dunkin's, whereas Starbucks really turned it into a homey feel with their, you know, their breakfast, if you will, their breakfast atmosphere.
Apparently, they don't just have donuts. They have a brisket kolaches, which is like a little bread with like meat stuffed in it.
Oh, whoa.
And I want it in my mouth.
Wow, he's got everything there. This guy,
he's got everything. Donuts and meat stuff.
What What else do you need, Steve?
You don't need anything else.
Yeah, as of late Sunday, Billy's initial post had garnered nearly 220,000 retweets and nearly 470,000 likes. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that people love on social media. And this is why Twitter's so good, because that's a positive thing. We all can, like, dig that, get behind it. Who wouldn't want to retweet that to help the kid and help his dad's business?
You want to feel like you're a part of something. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm always still a fan of going to a place that might be, like, a local mom-and-pop type of a shop. Just because you're like, okay, I'm helping out the community. Even if it's like you're paying a little bit more for something, I think it's worth doing. Although I do love what's one texter that says he should change the name to Sad Dad Donuts.
Oh, dude, that's a great idea.
I have like the little sad emoji.
Yeah. I mean, that's brilliant. Sad Dad Donuts.
It can be really mopey. Hey, guys, welcome to Sad Dad Donuts. Would you like a donut?
Who doesn't want to help out the sad dad? And this is just another example why social media, if you're in business, it's kind of a necessary thing. The kid just showed. Because I just recently had a conversation with somebody who's really successful. And they Bill Gates actually would never have a conversation with me.
Okay.
But this person was like, I don't believe in it. And they're
social
also,
media?
Yeah. And they're also not doing well. Like, they used to do well. They used to be somebody.
What, when they had an Angel Fire website?
Yeah. Well, they used to be a somebody. And then, of course, you know, they're my age group. And now they're like going, oh, I got this going on, that going on. I go, hey, have you thought about social media? And they go, no, I'm not using that. I don't believe in it. And I go, well, dude, no one's ever going to care about you anymore if you don't do that.
Were you with Jeffrey from Toys R Us?
It was Jeffrey from Toys R Us. He wouldn't buy into it. He didn't understand. And now look where he is.
Bankrupt.
Have you ever talked to anybody who's your age and you go, dude, you're like 102. Like, you don't get, like, the new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of times where you just realize, okay, you're not, you've just checked out. You don't want to learn about it. With me, it's more about music. I get excited about a new band and I tell one of my buddies that is a fellow, at one point was a music lover with me, maybe in the college days. And they're just like, yeah, man. If it's not, I'm just not going to put any time into checking that band out. And I'm like, okay.
You are so different, Steve, because what do they say? It's like you're 30, like maybe 30, 31 years old, where you stop wanting to hear new music and you don't care anymore?
My favorite band is a new band, relatively new band. They've been around for 4 or 5 years. I went and saw them last night. I was up way late.
You were doing shots with them. Who are you kidding?
Well, I mean, you don't turn down an opportunity to do shots with your favorite band. That's the Glorious Sons, and it was a great time.
By the way, you have the greatest life. Like, a 17-year-old you could have never told 17-year-old you that you would be having the kind of life you have when it comes to music. It is pretty awesome.
Well, let's not forget, my first time ever smoking weed was with Cypress Hill.
Yes.
Because I was in college, and I went to go get some radio station liners for my college station, and they brought me on the bus to go play Sega. This is how long ago it was. Do you want to play some Sega with us? I'm like, sure. Go on their bus. I'm like, again, I'm not going to turn down an opportunity to play Sega with Cypress Hill. And be real, they're all smoking weed, and he passes the joint over to me. I've never smoked pot before in my life.
What a life.
And he's like, here you go. And I'm just like, in my head.
Your first time was with those folks.
I didn't tell them it was my first time, although I should have. It would have been probably pretty epic.
Oh, they would have loved that, yeah.
But in my head, I was like, they won't do it. They don't want to corrupt me. So I'm like, yeah. Because in my head, I'm like, this is a great story that I'll get to say to my buddies that I got to smoke pot with Cypress Hill.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That is a great story.
Yeah. I mean, when are you going to have that opportunity again?
That's what I'm saying. 17-year-old you really would be proud of you where you are now. Now, I don't know.
I set the tone at 17.
Now, I don't know if, like, you know, 55-year-old you is going to be proud of where you are
now.
No,
at that point, it's getting a little sad.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I won't stop.
No, you won't. I mean, you got to keep it going.
But, and to echo on the whole getting excited about new bands, the band that opened for them, fell in love with, and I can't wait to hopefully they're going to put out a record in the near future. I have a single out. It's JJ Wild. It's a female fronted group. Her name's JJ, and she's JJ Wild, and then she has a backing band. Canadian girl, awesome person, and great bluesy voice. Phenomenal band.
Damn.
So I get excited when you see a band live that you've never heard before. And I was talking to one of the security guys at the Tractor, and he'd never even heard of any of these bands. And he's like, man, tonight was awesome. I'm like, probably makes it worth putting up with a lot of really crappy bands when you get bands that you really dig. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, you deal with a lot of crappy bands, but one of the cool parts of my job, and he was probably around my age, and he's like, one of the cool parts of the job is when you had nights like tonight where you fall in love with a band that you never even heard of.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty magical that you still can do that, Steve, because the average human being just stops caring about music as far as new music goes in their early 30s.
Yeah.
So it's and that's a special thing. Yeah, it's no, because I talk to peers too, and it's amazing. Like, you're my age. You know, I would expect this from old people, and I know I'm old people now. Well, but I still would expect it. I mean, I still think it should be like somebody who's like, you know, 20 years older than me thinking like this. Not you, but turns out, no, that's what people do. They stop learning. They stop wanting to experience new things. Damn. Got these research. What's that?
Oh no, go ahead.
Oh. Got these researchers in Australia conducted a study to find out if death metal is actually bad for us, because that's what people want you to believe.
Of course it is. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. You know, I just remember violent video games and, of course, you know, death metal. Those are the things that would come under fire all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, really heavy metal music and video games that, you know, like the Grand Theft Autos. Everybody's talking about how it's horrible for society because, you know, especially politicians, they just love to point a finger at somebody to just basically make the scapegoat of, well, you know, so nobody knows how horrible they are.
There was one moment when I was a kid in high school and, you know, we all had the denim jackets with the, I don't know if Danny did this. I don't know if it was like a pop punk thing too, but it was a metal thing. You get the denim jacket and then you get the big back patch.
Oh yeah.
You had it sewn on. So I had like some pretty mainstream metal bands like Motley Crue, Judas Priest patches all over my denim jacket. But the big back patch was this band called Venom. And they're like a black metal band, dark. And the patch was the guitarist standing on a pentagram.
Oh, yeah. That always works.
On fire.
Yep.
Yeah, mom and dad were like, okay, do we need to have a conversation?
We're from a Catholic family, and you've got that on your back.
I'm like, this is awesome. I was so stoked on that.
I wasn't allowed to have one of those jackets by my mom. She was like, no, you can't do the whole patch. It looks ratty and blah, blah, blah.
That's
I was
the
like,
one.
That's it.
Vicky found it.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't look demonic.
Yeah, that was on my back patch.
Yeah, that doesn't look demonic at all.
Yeah, so it was just a ring of fire, and then the pentagram was behind him with the Venom logo.
Yeah. Well, if finally scientists got involved with this whole thing. All right, people say death metal's bad for you. Let's find out.
Okay.
So what they did is they got two groups of people together, some death metal fans and some people that weren't death metal fans.
Put them in a room and see who wins.
That's right. A fight to the death. Here's what they did. They had them listen to two songs. Either Pharrell, one of two songs, either Pharrell's Happy or a song called Eaten by the band Bloodbath. And the song's about cannibalism, so you know, it's a happy song. So here's a little bit of Happy. This is Pharrell's Happy. Yes, makes me. It really makes me want to do bad things. Yeah, it's just so syrupy.
Yeah.
Oh.
I can understand. It's sugary.
It's over sugary. I like pop music, but this is really super sugary for me. I was never a fan
of this. That's saying
a lot. Yeah, it really is. I was never a fan of this song. I mean, I was like, ugh. Stop it already.
It bothers me because it makes me feel like I need to be. Like, they're telling me, be happy. And I'm like, I don't want to be happy.
Don't tell first time know. I heard it, that it was a jingle for, like, a drink that has, like, extra lime in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It does sound like it would be a great jingle for that, yeah.
I think the only reason I put up with it is I think it was in Despicable Me 2, and he's all happy, and he's all dancing along to it, and then later he's not, and then he's just, like, doing the same walk and just trashing everything. It's actually kind of awesome.
Ah, all right, well, I'll have to watch that with Despicable Me, and that's the only way I can have that song. Yep. So they played that for some folks. Then they played this for some folks. This is Eaten by Bloodbath.
Well, in all fairness, it sounds heavy, but the lyrics are actually very upbeat. I don't know if you can understand what he said, but he said, carve me up, slice me apart, suck my guts and lick my heart. Chop me up, I like to be hurt. Drink my marrow and blood for dessert. Eaten.
Yeah.
My one desire, my only wish, is to be eaten.
Oh, so he's not promoting cannibalism for his own benefit. He wants to help out the cannibals out there.
Right.
Yeah, he's saying, no, eat me. Don't. I don't want to eat you. I want you to eat me.
For dessert as well.
Well, of course, for dessert.
Especially on National Pie Day.
It is National Pie Day, so lick his heart for National Pie Day.
When you write lyrics like that, does anyone in your band look at you and go, you good, man?
Yeah, how things going?
Everything okay?
You surely know that it's not going to be Billboard's Top 100, right? You know,
right?
Yeah. Man. So here's what they did, though. Okay, so you have those two songs. You have
I'd
Happy.
Rather hear that song over Happy, I'll tell you that much, though.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were. And it turns out... maybe not so bad, because what they did is they showed people two images after they played the, because I get it, some people heard happy, some people heard Eaton, so they didn't hear both. It just, they decided to say, all right, we'll throw you happy crowd over here, we'll throw the Eaton crowd over here, and then they showed them images. One of the images was violent, the other was non-threatening.
Okay. This is the most insane thing.
I love this study.
How much pot was smoked before they came up with this way of figuring out which is more violent?
These had to be researchers here in Washington. I mean, they say in Australia, but they should have been in Washington. And so they show you an image in one eye. It's a violent image.
Okay.
And they show you an image in the other eye, which is a non-threatening image. And what's supposed to happen is when they present you with two images like that, you tend to focus on the violent one more so. The thinking that was that if death metal was really so bad, it would desensitize listeners to the violence and they wouldn't focus more on the violent image, but that didn't happen. The metalheads were just as focused on the violent image as everyone else. So the idea that metal might desensitize you to violence is, at least according to these scientists, not true, that metal doesn't make it any worse for somebody to embrace violence.
See, I always thought, I mean, it's no different than any art that you're a fan of that might be kind of dark. Just because you like dark comic books, that doesn't mean you're going to be a violent person.
Oh,
just because,
yeah.
I mean, I grew up loving really heavy stuff. You know, I mean, I loved, like I said, Venom or Slayer or Testament or Overkill, like Nuclear Assault. But I wasn't a violent person. Like, I wasn't going around trying to hurt people.
You play drums for Jesus now. I mean, you're the exact opposite of what they'd say you'd be.
And I keep trying to work a Testament song into our set, and they're just like, no.
It's like Testament, you know, Jesus. It's all the same thing, right?
Catholic, dude. It would work in Catholic because you're supposed to have the body and blood of Christ.
Song. I even tried that. I mean, we almost started working Eaton into our set.
You could do it.
Yeah. I didn't have the right bass drum pedal.
Yeah. You can do it, though. Maybe
but
not
you know
your
I
church.
Mean, like, if you like horror films, it doesn't mean you're going to be a serial killer.
No, and it's always, like, the most random people. Like, everyone thinks, like, oh, you love horror movies, right? Because you're all, you know, wear black all the time. You love rock music. I'm like, no, I am the biggest chicken. I don't like any of that scary, creepy stuff. I don't like murder shows or documentaries or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have people like Sarah that's like, I want to try eating a person one day.
Yeah, Sarah's a...
she probably dug that song,
yeah,
right?
She's, my daughter's insane.
But like, you look at her, and you're like, oh, wait. No way in hell she would ever, you know, think this.
Can we bring your daughter in? I want to ask her.
Don't ask her if she wants to eat people.
Well, we've had this conversation before.
I know, and
this
conversation.
She's curious. Not that she would do it, but she would. She's curious
know.
On what it'd be
you
like.
Know, she gets this from her mother. Her mother's a little. Wait, every once in a while, my wife
likes
to
eat people.
See, my wife says things. I go, you know.
Dr. Pokey?
I can't even tell you some of the things she says because it's just like, honey, they'll lock you up. Don't say that in front of anybody else.
But your daughter's a vegetarian.
Yes, I am.
She doesn't eat meat, but she sure likes the bone.
That's the truth.
You're her father.
Well, I meant because she wants to eat people, not that bone.
Two things can be right.
Yeah,
two things are right.
So you refuse to eat animal meat.
Correct.
But you have there's a curiosity about eating human meat?
There's a huge curiosity.
Why, honey?
Yeah.
You're a vegetarian. What are you doing?
I think if animals, like chickens and pigs and like these nasty-ass creatures taste so good to us or humans, I feel like how good would we taste if like we were fried or we were like smothered in barbecue sauce or something? We probably would taste so good too.
Oh, she gets this from her mother.
If there was a decision like in front of me, if it was like fried chicken, because I've never had fried chicken before, or like a fried human, I would 100% try the fried
human.
So
you would go with human leg over turkey leg?
Hell yes.
Oh no, don't
I've
say this.
Always been so curious
don't
about
say this to
so
me.
Instead of like a cow's like a rump roast, you'd want like a human rump roast?
Yeah, dude, booties probably taste so good if you fry them up.
Oh, probably fatty. Yeah.
Why are we having this conversation, Steve?
Yeah, I've always
you know
been
I'm not
about
sure,
it.
BJ.
Yeah, this
lack of sleep.
This wasn't your this wasn't your best move.
Would
it sounded
you
like a
really,
good idea on paper.
Really not try it?
No, I wouldn't try it.
No.
You wouldn't try human?
No. I see. Her brain doesn't realize that she is a weirdo. In
if
this
it
moment.
Was right in front of you, like fried?
No, we wouldn't try it. It's another human being.
I
you
would
and
run
your
away.
Mother are a whack job.
Like if there was like fried monkey brains or whatever it is that some people actually find to be delicious, at least I base it on Indiana Jones. But
well, everything we learned is
I wouldn't want to try it just because it's in front of me. Like I don't want to to eat things. If caviar is in front of me, I'm not going to eat it.
You wouldn't try it?
I've tried it. It's stupid.
So actually, you did try it one time.
Well, because it was like this. It was my wedding. I was drunk, and it was a super expensive thing of caviar. Like this can cost $300, and I'm like, well, I need to see what a $300 thing of caviar tastes.
Yeah, you found out.
You're like, what?
And I'm like, this is. It wasn't like that. It wasn't disgusting where I was going to puke, but it was just,
what's the point?
Not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have to trick you guys to eat human.
Tell them it's alligator.
You're not going
to
trick anybody. It's against the law, daughter.
Oh yeah. Okay. If it becomes legal,
it's never
then.
I like this. Red flag, J-Rubs. Right? Red flag.
Jesus.
Yeah, right?
Honestly, I tell you guys, you think I'm a whack job. These kind of conversations come from her mother. You know, Joey D's and I, thank God Joey D, as far as I know, he doesn't have these kind of thoughts, but these are straight from your mother's head.
Yeah, there's no meat in his mac and cheese.
I've had conversations with my wife, and I can't repeat them. She'll go, well, I don't see why you can't do blank. And I'll be like, what? I mean, literally, I'll be like in my phone going, what did you just say? And she'll go, I can't believe. And I thought, okay, I thought my hearing aids were off. You literally just said something that, don't ever say that to any human being ever.
Someone says, I think I need a restraining order from Sarah.
Yes.
I think all of us do. One person says, maybe it's a Sarah thing, because I'm totally curious about what humans taste like too, from Sarah.
Thank you. Next text. Not the only one.
I'm with Sarah. I would totally try human.
No,
yeah, as long as like the person's already dead, already cooked up, already fried, whatever.
Oh, thanks.
Like, I'm not going to kill anyone to eat them. I'm not going to do that.
That's, you know, again, this not making it better.
Another person says, I have to say, I'm curious too, because they say human meat's supposed to be the best, tasty of them all.
That's right.
Who says that? Some tribe somewhere in the middle of a jungle?
I mean, why wouldn't we taste good if animals taste good?
Okay, you know why?
Not all animals taste good, though.
Yeah, that's true.
From what I hear.
Yeah, rats, I don't think rats taste good.
China, they eat dogs, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know if
that's still going on. That
really?
Might be an old wives' tale. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I don't think anybody's eating dogs anymore. I mean, when in Korea, I heard that maybe they still do, but I don't know.
This segment just took a downhill turn.
I know. Thanks to Steve and staying up late having shots with glorious sons.
Side note. Jeffrey Dahmer, apparently, according to a meme, says, I ate someone with a tattoo once. The ink made the meat taste like crap. So eat garlic to avoid vampires and eat tattoos to avoid get tattoos to avoid cannibals.
Yeah, because memes are all true.
I know, but I'm going, I mean, that's why I preface it. It's
well, Abraham Lincoln did once say not to believe everything you read on the internet.
So did Albert Einstein.
I cannot believe.
See, this is why no one wants to eat me.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone wants to eat me then.
I hate my life. My daughter's out of her mind. Vicky will only speak from memes. She won't actually go look it up in a dictionary or
there's no answers yet.
Where in the dictionary are you going to get answers like this?
I know. Someone's going to have like the Cannibals Dictionary somewhere. Jesus. Okay, yesterday. Are we done? Can we be done with this?
Yes.
Yesterday, Steve did get this one right.
Who was the original voice of Mickey Mouse?
Walt Disney.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. You want a shot at beating Steve? Okay. This is your chance. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. I have lots of tickets that I haven't paid. Can those be discharged through a bankruptcy?
Yes, there are some limits on what we can do with tickets. Tickets cannot be discharged in a full bankruptcy. In a Chapter 7 case, that won't help you get your license back. But in Chapter 13 reorganization, tickets are dischargeable. Most types of tickets are dischargeable. So you would have to pay back some of the tickets in a Chapter 13 case, but the vast majority of them could be discharged if you complete the plan. And again, you would get your license back right away when you filed the Chapter 13 case, as long as the only reason you don't have your license is because of failure to pay your tickets. But the Chapter 13 process will help you get your license back and repay a small portion of your tickets in most cases and get your license reinstated almost immediately.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at choosetherightchapter.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.